Hello, welcome to this edition of the REIT Report, Nareit's weekly podcast. I'm your host, Alan Kenny, and we're recording this on January 18th, 2016. Co-working is a new facet of the so-called sharing economy, and our guest today is Lee Overby, Managing Director with Morningstar Credit Ratings. We're going to discuss how the trend towards co-working is affecting the commercial real estate market. Lee, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, Lee, for our listeners who aren't so familiar with what co-working actually is, can you explain it to them and also give us an idea of how common this is?
Sure. Co-working is not a new concept, although it has taken off fairly recently. Essentially, a firm will lease office space from a typical office provider and re-lease this space out to individual users. So, for instance, the most common one in the market that people have heard the most about is WeWork. So individuals who are looking for a desk or a work environment can go to WeWork and rent essentially the equivalent of a small office or whatever space that they need for whatever period of time that they would like. We have found that this appeals both to contractors and temporary workers, as well as to more established office tenants who may want to have a satellite office in a specific location.
Do you have any stats in terms of how many people out there are utilizing co-working?
Well, to be perfectly honest, most of the co-working firms are private and do not divulge particular enrollment or figures about percentage of people that use their space. So we don't have a very good sense of what they're looking at. That said, the largest one is this firm called Regus, which is based out of Luxembourg, and they advertise more than 46 million square feet of office space in 2,700 locations. So it looks like it is pretty sizable.
And your recent analysis, Morningstar's recent analysis of co-working determined that it will have a significant impact on both underwriting and valuation standards of commercial mortgage-backed securities. Can you expand a bit on that for us? I mean, why do you think that's going to be the case?
When a firm such as WeWork or one of the co-working tenants rents office space, then it appears that the portion of office space that they are taking is actually 100% occupied. So, for instance, if WeWork were to rent half of a 500,000-square-foot building, then that half would appear to be completely occupied by one tenant, regardless of how much of that space that WeWork then subsequently leased out to individual users. So if the business plan for the co-working space might run into difficulties, that information would not be reflected back to the CMBS holder. So in a lot of ways, co-working is taking advantage of somewhat of an arbitrage in that they have fixed costs of a rent that they must pay on the space that they're taking, but at the same time, their income tends to be very variable depending on the number of tenants that they have occupying the space. So there, with this mismatch, it is sometimes difficult to understand how successful the actual business in place is. So one of the things that we're looking at to try to analyze these properties is to essentially assume a market occupancy rate for the space that the co-working firm uses. So, for instance, if they're in a market where typical occupancy is 80%, then we use an 80% occupancy space for our occupancy rate for the space that the co-working firm takes.
And I guess one other question, I'm not sure that this is something that you've covered extensively, but what is this doing to the companies in the office sector in terms of maybe how they're, you know, designing space? I mean, are there structural considerations in that regard?
Generally speaking, the co-working firms target Class B and C properties. So in Manhattan in particular, there is a good-sized segment of buildings that are perhaps of older vintage or not as modern and up-to-date as some of the other buildings that are recently coming online. The co-working firms generally will target those, But when they do, there is significant renovations that need to happen in order to make this work for the co-working space. So, for instance, many of these older buildings were designed for, say, law firms or advertising firms with good-sized offices in them, whereas the co-working space tends to be more of a flat structure, fewer walls, more open layout type of arrangement.
All right. Well, Lee, appreciate your time, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us as well. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and remember that you can always visit REIT.com for more on this and other real estate news and analysis. For the REIT Report, I'm Alan Kenny.